Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Cause they giving you the latest on everything on your playlist. This bet the safest from basements to greatness. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ram. Might think you fly, but ain't nice as my guys. Got eyes on the prize. So like and subscribe. We back in the booth. I think that they gon' eat this up. The ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain. We have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel
that bang. What is up, my pizzas? Corey Vincent here. Video Game Bang is back. And it's almost Easter, or it's going to be Easter by the time this hits your ear holes. So I hope you had a happy Easter. I hope your family wasn't too annoying. I'm finding that's been a struggle. It's been a doozy. COVID does some stuff to your in-laws, man. I don't know about you guys, but hey, hope you guys don't listen to the show. Anyways, happy to be here with my friends. We missed a week, but it's okay because we're back and better than ever. Joining me to my left, Lexi JPR. What is up, girlfriend?
What's up, Corey?
How you been?
How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm making it.
You're making it?
Just a little at a time.
Okay.
Chilling?
You know? Yeah. Running your WWE
got
wrestling account?
Big things popping.
You do?
What?
Are you going to, you said you run your your WWE wrestling accounts that you've been running?
Yeah. And my PDA and all those. Yeah, no. I just been chilling. Working hard as normal. Just a lot of things going on. So, yeah.
Also joining us on the show, longtime VG Beer, host of the Filmlosophers podcast and star on the rise. You can catch him on the new Rockstars YouTube channel, breaking down all those nerdy TV shows. Eddie Villanueva, what's going on?
Hello, guys. What is up? It's super cool to be here.
Man.
Hello and welcome. Yeah, it's cool, man. I'm glad to be back again and talking to you guys, especially. I haven't seen Lexi in a minute. I see Corey way too often.
I'm glad you remember the little people, man, after you've been blowing up over there on that new Rockstars channel. So proud, man. How did that come about? I don't even know if we talked about it last week.
I don't think we got a chance to last time, but just long story short, like we were mentioning earlier off air, me and Corey just have a lot of really great and awesome friends, and one of our friends who's a frequenter on that show as well threw my name out there, threw me a bone, gave me an opportunity. I talk to the producers and they're like, okay, cool, let's join. And so I've been on already a few episodes, and I already got some dates coming up next or this month for revisits. So
nice, Sue. And also joining us on the show, he has an announcement for us, which I'm very excited about. Kyle the Winner, welcome, Sacramento's own.
Thank you. Oh yeah, not for long.
Oh, spoilers! So, spoilers! Give us the news. What's the sauce? What's happening?
We'll go backwards. We'll work backwards. So I am going to, for the first time ever in my life, minus the 4 years of college, which I was. Just go back and forth. I'm actually moving, so I am preparing to do that. Not just like, a new place, or not just like in the state. No, I'm moving literally across the entire country.
Wow.
To the whole ass other coast. I'm going to Boston, which is cool because I am excited to announce I will be one of Harmonix's community managers.
Let's go.
I'm moving into the front facing role that Lexi and Corey occupied. So we'll see. Well, that's gonna be a new experience for me. I'm used to kind of the interior focus. Like, I don't have to care what other people say about my game as long as I think it's good. I don't care what they do or whatever. Now I have to care. It's like, oh,
the move to community management. Are you sure
Cal
you're ready?
Is the winner.
Are you ready for this journey?
I'm excited. It's gonna be cool too, because I'm sticking with a lot of the things that I've been doing. A lot of the people. I think the one thing I'm super excited is like I applied and had offers from some other places and was like looking around at other options and like. Oh, I'm so glad I get to stay with this company. Some of the other places, they're just like, if I have to, I might, but I really don't like anything about, like, the location sucks, the pay sucks, the game sucks. Like, yeah. Nah, dude, I get to stay with, like, awesome people. I can live comfortably. Like, it's so much nicer. And, like, I get to move and have some new experiences. So I'm excited to do that. So
awesome, man.
I'll be going across the country here in the summer.
Congratulations really again. Cool. I mean, it's going to test you getting into that community management. There's so many different fields. And when you get into that spot, you have to do a bunch of it. But as far as I've never been a quote unquote community manager, but usually that's like even more interaction with the people. Like you got to be in the community managing.
Yeah.
you gotta
feel the pulse.
You're in the Discord, you're banning the trolls, mm-hmm. like you're on yep. the front yeah. lines of and getting
true,
up
true.
And preaching the good word of Harmonix. But that's huge, man. Sucks you're gonna be leaving us. I mean, you're still gonna be Skyping in for the show.
Oh yeah.
But it sucks that you're gonna be leaving us, I mean Sacramento, because
I will make sure to come back in time for those Christmas parties, dude. That is
boy.
Highlight of the year.
Let's go.
I still have yet to attend one.
You're
missing out.
It's changing this year. Well, we had April Fools because, we had, and we are social media people on this call here. Did Lexi, how do you approach April Fools from your from your social media content strategy? Did you even engage with it?
No, we didn't. There was a few things we wanted to do. We just decided not to do them because of what they pertained. But that's all I can say about that. But but we almost did one. But just decide not to. I think Borderlands might have did a few funny ones. If you guys go back and look at their account, they usually do pretty neat ones. But yeah, I mean, on our side, we were kind of chilling, cooling it. We were also promoting our new multiplayer golf Divot Derby mode.
What?
So go check that out on PGA.
Wow.
Man. Announcement after announcement.
I know.
You can literally play with up to 20 players playing this chaotic game mode where you basically see who can get to, the hole first.
So you created basically PGA Battle Royale.
Yeah.
Why not?
It's super fun. Let's just call it what it is. So you guys should check it out for sure.
Is there a reason? Have you seen, like, because April Fools from a social media perspective is crazy. It's very low risk, high risk, kind of like
low reward.
I generally try to skip the April Fools things. A few companies this year ended up being the butt of the joke, like Volkswagen. Came up with something.
You mean Volkswagen?
Volkswagen, yeah. Came Volkswagen. Out. It didn't really go over. Jameson tried it, saying they're making like a skincare product or something. I saw some Overwatch League teams do it. We did one. I against.
You're talking about the Shox logo.
Yeah,
that was.
See, that's funny.
That's a very tame. Yeah. Like you didn't like. Lol, we're gonna be racist April Fools. We're not like that's a very safe bet. Like,
you know,
I feel
who,
like this April, like you needed to be like scale it back. Like it shouldn't have been as aggressive as some people I've seen did, and then it bit them in the butt. Like I think it needed to be more towards Corey's, like how they did it, because I really enjoyed that. That was awesome. I was like, I used to draw that S on the bus, like, so there, I was like, that's my logo. Like,
there's a criteria I think that you're pretty much safe in. On social media, especially, you know, 2020, 2021 era, where just there's so much wrong in the world right now, and a lot of, you know, there's no room to try and be edgy, you know? So
yeah.
I tried to pick something. We just did like a typical rebrand thing, but we have this Gangsta S or Universal S, you know, the one everyone drew in middle school logo that we put on a t-shirt, and we sold a shitload of those t-shirts. Like, people really dug it. So like the morning before April Fool's, I kind of had like a shower thought of like, oh, let's just do a rebrand. I made a couple new shirts from nothing. Like, I did it in MS Paint, and I called them our 2021 jerseys and put them up on the store, not really knowing if anyone would buy them. And holy moly, did we like way over hit all of those targets. Like, we, the Meta Threads who does our stuff sent me an email, and they're like, hey, were you anticipating this many orders? Like, what happened? Should we change the process? Because before we were going to do like, you know, just print on demand, you know, because we didn't, we were just going to do them as like a joke. But he was like, no, there's like a whole bunch. It'd probably be more cost effective if we actually do like the full blown sublimation thing and started talking all these big words. And so we're going to do it. So it ended up being like a huge, you know, win for us. So I was pretty happy about it. But, you know, it's just, it's one of those things. You don't want to be Burger King. Did you see what Burger King did on National Women's Day?
Oh, no.
God.
Oh,
I think,
man.
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, it's so cringy.
It was cringy. Hey, we got a sub on our Twitch channel. If you're not watching us on twitch.tv, I don't know what you're doing, but Mr. Drew in the TARDIS is a sub for 46 months. Holy moly.
Let's
Jesus.
Go.
Popping off, Drew.
There's got to be something to do better with your money. I'll take it. I'm just playing. Yeah, so if you want to come hang out with awesome people like Squigs, who's up in the chat, who says, Rip Burger King, Drew in the TARDIS, Bologna, or Bologna, Bologner.
Bologna.
Bolognus, I don't know. And that guy, come hang out with us. But Burger King thought it would be great. Here's the thing with the Burger King thing. Like, God, you're so dumb. They put out a tweet that said, all it said was, women belong in the kitchen, ..
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
And then underneath, you know, they replied to their own tweet. You know, it was like three paragraphs of like all this amazing stuff they're doing, like starting new scholarships and programs for women and stuff through that are their employees.
And like,
it was great. The things they're doing.
All this great back-end work just to have it absolutely because like,
ruined.
Proportionally speaking, the metrics of who viewed that first tweet and interacted with it compared to who viewed and interacted with that second reply, that's like 30-1 of like 29 people just fucking missed the mark on like, did not look at they're just like, wow, Burger King is sexist now.
Thanks,
well,
Burger King.
Yep.
You know, that's kind of the thing. I rationally, my thought was, well, in the end, they're doing the right thing. So why are people getting so mad? And so you start reading the comments. And the thing is, like, there was a lot, way too many of the trolls who then quote tweeted it and then were commenting like, yeah, let's go, Burger King, and taking that one little piece and blowing it up and just giving trolls more opportunity and something to latch onto to blow it up and make it even worse than it was really supposed to be. So, like, Burger King, you did good, except there was no need to take
except
it there.
You didn't.
Except
and
you
didn't. And they
didn't
need to put it as a second tweet. Someone, like, went in and, like, copied both of those and, like, you can fit the first tweet and the second tweet onto one tweet.
Investigating. Wow.
Yeah. It was super unnecessary. So welcome, Kyle. Everything you do is under a microscope. You could destroy your brand. You better delete every trick.
I could destroy a 15-year-old legacy brand if I wanted to.
With one action.
With one 150-character tweet.
Oh, one stupid idea.
Yep. Woo!
You better believe people will stalk you. They will go to your page and they'll be like, oh, let's see who the community manager is. Let me go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, let me follow this person. See all their
if they
want to
hit me up, if they
want to
follow me
about,
on Twitch, they
might. They
want to watch the show, you know.
Have you had it go across that line yet, Lexi? Do you get those messages of the social, the community manager this or the community manager that and people like sending hate messages to you?
No hate messages. Everyone's been super nice, but I've had like people follow and like, you know, even I probably watch the show or follow the show, which is good. Nothing to the other extent yet. Fingers crossed and knock on
people
wood.
Personally blaming you for nerfing their favorite wrestling character, taking their favorite club out of the game, or yelling at Corey because they dropped Moth. Corey, why would you drop Moth? Why would you let Moth go? Don't trade him, you piece of shit.
Leave social media managers alone. There's a lot of times they're just doing what they're told.
Leave us alone.
Yeah.
Let us do what we want to do and help out the community in the way we see fit.
There are bad social media managers.
We are the heroes.
Though. Don't get me wrong. There are bad social media managers.
There are.
In my field, it seems like in season one, social media was at its peak. Like there was a super squad of social media managers, an elite group who've all gone on to do like amazing things with, you know, larger teams and organizations. I'm still obviously, you know, stuck in the Overwatch League, but the other teams, like you could tell which ones just gave up altogether. The ones that haven't tweeted since their last match, like 6 months ago. And then there are a few out there that are continually like trying to make ends meet and put things together. But then there's this other batch where they just they're bad. Like one entire team murdered SpongeBob memes for the entire league because they didn't know how to communicate other than SpongeBob memes. And then anytime we tried to use one or any team did, it was like, oh, wow, Outlaws. Oh, sorry, I'm naming them. Yeah, Outlaws. You guys fucked it up. Anyways, we could kind of get going because we got a lot of stuff to talk about. The first thing I want to talk about is because we haven't been able to discuss this properly with Lexi, is Captain Falcon and the Captain Winter Soldier guy.
Two captains. Wait. There we go.
Wait.
A tale of two captains.
The Captain, Captain Falcon.
He is not my captain, let me tell you.
I like the new Captain America. I'm not going to lie. I like this new dude better than Steve.
The hell? Wow. No.
Yeah.
No.
This guy's real.
No. What?
Yeah, he tells it how it is.
I don't know about that.
They casted the most punchable face they could possibly find.
Seriously.
Whoever casted that deserves a raise, dude. Holy shit.
They set this guy up for a downfall. They already set him up for a downfall. It's just there.
Well, we're three episodes deep. We kind of covered 2 weeks ago. We talked about the premiere. I think the show is just getting better with each episode. What do you like about this series? Because it's very different from WandaVision, and we know you absolutely adored WandaVision, Lexi. What's keeping you coming back episode after episode and enjoying Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
First of all, it's almost an hour long, so I'm watching like an action-packed movie every week.
Yeah, that's true.
Second of all, it's the action-packed of it, like the Mission Impossible vibe, James Bond meets Fast and Furious. Like I love that. Like, I love, like, Marvel has different demeanors, and, like, yeah, we had, like, the magic, mysterious kind of thing. And then now we have, like, okay, these two characters are meant to be, like, action-packed, like, soup. Like, that's just how they are. And so let's create a show around these two, you know. So that's
Say Fast and Furious. Is Samuel L. Jackson going to come out and say, this is family. It's all about family.
It's all about family, Dom.
Around the Avengers. I don't got friends. I got family.
Can I spoil? Is this spoil? Like, spoiler alert. This is about to be a spoiler if you haven't seen this. I don't know. Anyway, the scene where they were like on top of the truck.
Yeah.
Like, that was Fast and Furious vibes to me all the way. Like, that Mission Impossible ish. Like, so that's been keeping me.
poor Lexi. The full brunt of her on truck action scenes is just relegated to Fast and the Furious. They've done tons of scenes with people on top of trucks prior to. There's even a movie about just a truck called Duel. I mean, we can go that way.
That's my kind of movie.
Philosopher over here just dropping movie stuff.
Other than that, I love Bucky. I love we're getting to see, like, we already knew his backstory, but it's like getting like deeper, like, why, what did you do? and like what's going on with you, you know, like seeing that part and also getting to know Sam on a different level, because again, we knew him, but we don't know his like whole backstory.
Yeah.
So I think like that's very intriguing to me to see like these two different people coming from two different backgrounds, like connecting with each other. So yeah, I like that. And then to see whatever happens with them in the future, you know. But this captain guy,
he's good, right?
Working for a Hydra.
No, he's not.
So the unique thing about this guy, so Wyatt Russell, the actor, because of the outcry of how much people have not liked his position of taking the Captain America role, they've actually sent death threats to the actor himself for him taking
the Joffrey thing all over again. Oh my God.
Punishing him for doing his job too well. I like him. I like the whole backstory. And there might be something more sinister to him. He may be working for Hydra.
Might be, Corey.
Maybe.
Are you watching the same show?
No, I think he's going to end up a good guy.
Dude, you got Lexi coming right up to the camera. You got Lexi coming right to that camera.
I know.
Hit him with a fast one if he's not watching the same show.
That whole like, Friday Night Lights thing where he had the girlfriend in the locker room and he's talking about this being that he's just doing the best with what he has.
They're setting him up. You like the girlfriend. I like the girlfriend. They're going to kill the girlfriend. Watch it.
Damn.
He's going to turn evil and then want to get revenge. And he's like, oh, I need the super serum.
What planet is Lexi on?
Let me interject this. Do you know the origin of John Walker? Do you guys know the origin of John Walker here?
Johnny Walker.
So, besides the show, no.
So John Walker essentially was a normal soldier. Him and Lamar Battlestar. They were soldiers who were wanting to do more. John Walker was just somebody who wanted to do more. So they, spoiler alert, they get in touch with somebody who knows the power broker. They essentially turn John Walker and Lamar into super soldiers. Here's the kicker. For wrestling purposes. Now, mind you, this is during the 70s. So they turn them into super serumed wrestlers. But John Walker doesn't just want to be a wrestler. So he goes out and puts his efforts through the power broker to be a soldier / Captain America individual. His role eventually turns into U.S. agent, which then transitions over to U.S. patriot. So there's a lineage that's going to go here that if they're going according to the storyline, if you've read the comics, you'll kind of see where it's going. But then there are also the people who think this is also going to take from the Secret Empire run where, as Lexi put it, Captain America comes out as a Hydra agent.
Yeah.
Now there's a whole scenario, like sinister background to that. But, that essentially is that's a run of comics that nobody liked.
Interesting.
I don't remember the guy's name, the guy that like set up the whole like GRC thing that they're trying to do. Like, I swear, like he's the lead. He created this thing. That's why he got this guy. He needed like a face, like he said, all this stuff. But it's all connected to
Hydra. He could also be the power broker.
He could, yeah.
I read a rumor that the power broker is actually Mephisto.
There we go. No, get off the show. No.
Hold on. I got a tweet about this. Hold on.
Confirmed. My prediction first. I got to get it on tape before.
Kyle, that's
going to be mean for a long while.
Yeah, it is.
I feel like they're going to make us love this guy. Like, I feel like right now it's like in that phase, like, I don't really like this guy, but he's all right, I guess. But he's still not Captain America. But, you know,
they're
like,
going to make you trust him, and then they're going to turn him to the dark side.
No, he's just a man doing the best with what he can. Kyle, the winner. Hold on. I got a message. I want to ask Kyle real quick because he doesn't really follow any of the comics. I saw like his eyes start glazing over when Eddie started talking about the comics. And you actually thought like the first three episodes of WandaVision were the best and then it got worse because it started getting into actual plot and stuff.
I am the worst Marvel fanboy you will ever find just because I'm not skeptical. I've tried not to be like a Debbie Downer, just like shit on everyone's happy thing. But like, I actually really enjoy this. I feel Lexi's like, when she mentioned it was very James Bond-esque, like the different places they had gone, like, was it like somewhere in Germany? And then they went to Island or something like that, wherever this shadow world was, or whatever this
cyberpunk, where it looked like cyberpunk.
Yeah. I love, and like they were like doing all this like cool like undercover shit, and like trying to keep up the ruse. And then of course something happens, and they gotta like shit it, you know, hits the fan. We gotta figure it out. And there's like, I just love that vibe, and I think both of them fit in. Like, it's kind of a rare case of like a double James Bond kind of thing, like where you have two kind of, you know, at the same level agents or you know, main characters who are kind of pushing this thing forward, which I really enjoy. I love the vibe of the show. There hasn't been like slow episodes. Like there hasn't yet to be anything like I haven't cared, but I mean, that's how I was with the first three episodes of WandaVision. So we'll see how it goes. But like, I have a feeling it's going to maintain a bit better, I think, to me. And I definitely love that they didn't go like overly episodic with this, where it's like each episode is like self-contained and there's not like a long storyline. Like, I think past shows ended up doing that with a lot of like, I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. leaned a little bit more in towards that, like, it's all kind of open and shut by the, you know, like by the end of the episode.
Yeah, it's all a nice little bow.
I love having shows that, like, it's like a movie, but like a season.
Yeah.
Like, where, okay, it'll get wrapped by the end of the season and there's like a cliffhanger, sure. But like, it kind of is a nice contained thing because you're able to kind of develop these characters out a lot more. And like, I loved getting into a little bit of Bucky backstory and kind of like, not even backstory, but like, where is he now? What is it like now that he's like trying to deal with all of the fallout of him being a mind zombie for 40 years or whatever.
So my question is, what's happening to Carter, Denise? Like, I'm just like, because in the last episode you see her go off and talk to this girl and she's like, we have a bigger problem on our hands. And
Sharon Carter. She's Agent 13, the one that saved him in that last episode.
Man, scene in the shipyard thing.
With the fucking pole where she like stabs the guy with a fucking pole.
That was probably one of the most awesome fight scenes I've seen since the Daredevil hallway scene. Like, that was like almost that level where, you know, it's like one camera shot following this person and she's just rolling, taking on all comers. Like, it was badass. She
really, like, you're watching that scene and you're like, yep, Disney. He's not afraid to kill people. There you go.
Yeah, she killed fools. She was killing fools.
Those weren't baby stabs. Those were full on. She's like, no.
Yeah.
I heard a theory about that. I heard that she like technically might have set up them going to that spot, because right before you see her like in the scene, you know, telling them like, I have people, you know, I know some people that could help us find this guy, right?
She's talking about the Fantastic Four, actually. That's who she's talking about.
There you go.
My God, Reed Richards.
John Krasinski.
John Krasinski.
As I am about that.
And Pam.
No, not
there you
here.
Go. There you go.
No,
there you go.
I heard like the theory was that she had these people, right? And then like, how does she know these people or whatever, you know? And all of a sudden she knows where this guy is. So the theory was that she set them up to this area to get what she needed and information. That's why she just casually had a car waiting for her out here where everybody else had to go with the other guy and his car. Kind of weird. And then now, like, it's like, what is she really doing? Like, what's her, you know what I mean? So it's very intriguing. Like, is she setting them up? Did she know all of this the whole time? They just wanted to get him out of jail. Like, what's her purpose?
Well, time will tell. It's a great series. We are halfway through. There's only three more episodes, and we will be talking about them as they come out. Yeah, six episodes.
I was hoping for like an 8 or 12. A six-episode season?
Dude, 8 or 12 of at this level of quality?
You have Black Widow coming out. You have Doctor Strange coming out. Eternals.
Chop. They got to keep this train rolling. Let's keep going on the movie kick since we got a film philosopher in our presence, because we had a Space Jam trailer, the classic. I love Space Jam, the original Michael Jordan. You know, you got Charles Barkley up in there. It was good. The Monstars. And now we get it brought into the new age with LeBron James. And they took a huge left turn on this one, making it like an entire cross up of all the different universes, of course, because that's, you know, what we do now. But I saw like Game of Thrones references in there. There was what else?
It's HBO. They're going to pull in everything.
Oh, it is HBO.
Yeah.
Wow. Eddie, give us a breakdown. What were the big things you noticed from this trailer that caught your eye?
I think the biggest thing, and I think this is on everybody's tongue right now, is the decision to make LeBron animated rather than how they did in the original. Michael Jordan was live action interacting with the characters. That's going to be the biggest thing that's going to either make or break this movie, because as much as the people were excited to see a follow-up to everybody's childhood movie, let's be honest, you're getting a modern-day Looney Tunes version of this movie in not the best way possible.
Wait, wasn't he a person? I thought he was animated, and then when they showed him playing basketball, like he went up for the dunk and ran into the thing. He was a normal dude then.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it just depends on how much they're gonna balance that out. I mean, if the basketball games and all that is LeBron as LeBron, that's gonna be great. But then it just goes to knowing the specs of like how long is the basketball scene gonna be? Is it just gonna be something that they do for like 5 minutes compared to like an hour and a half movie or something? It's just that first introduction. You're introducing your main character as something that is different than what people expect in a very timely and cult classic film.
Yeah. I saw a lot of people saying
that's like people saying they're going to remake Rocky Horror Picture Show and the main character actually being a woman rather than a man in drag, you know?
Yeah.
It's different.
It'd make people mad. I know.
Also, are y'all mad about Lola?
That's what I was going to say. There's a lot of internet controversy over Lola Bunny not being as voluptuous as she once was. A lot of people were mad that they desexualized her. And it got super meta because the director or someone came out or whoever was in charge of those types of decisions and said, we wanted to present her as powerful and strong and independent. And then people were like, well, but you could still be all that and have big old boobies. So what's the deal?
And the crazy thing about that is that a lot of people a lot of the biggest arguments that I've seen are people comparing the current Lola with a fan fiction created image of her, not the actual image from the film. So the fanfic image that's been circulating the internet, it has a little bit more of the peaks. It has a little bit more of the shorter shorts. And it's like the curves are there, but then you go to the film and it's like, no, she's not as defined as we, you know, mentally remember. And because of that one particular image that's been floating around the internet, that's what we see Lola as. So it's very unique about how a lot of people are taking this argument up and utilizing incorrect information as part of the comparison.
Well, I'm looking at like the Lola Bunny from the original, and she definitely is a little more like sexier. I mean, I'm not into rabbits. Hey, if you're into rabbits and it's legal where you're at, that's cool. I, for one, am not into rabbits. However, I don't know. I don't know. As our resident butt expert, Kyle, what are you really upset about the Lola Bunny thing?
I saw the original Space Jam in my youth, right? But I think I may have seen it a little bit later after the fact, where it didn't, like, I don't have that inherent, like, furry light for the people that were into the Lola Bunny thing. I don't think I was as, like, attached to the movie. I really don't care about the whole Lola Bunny thing. I just do not care. I don't have this like major like, you can't change art. It's art. You gotta keep it. Like, I don't care, dude. Like,
and a lot of people who are bringing it up are just the people who are fascinated with it. Like all the people who have fixations on cartoon moms and cartoon females and cartoon female, you know, animals. And it's like, I get it. There's a guy on YouTube named SaberSpark. He's one of those guys who talks about things like that. And it's like, yeah, I don't know if I have that kind of attraction to, you know, a cow on its hind legs just because it's a female. I'm good. You know, I'm all right.
Yeah. None of them will stand up to Callie Briggs from SWAT Cats. I'll just put that one out there for right now. Callie Briggs from Callie SWAT Briggs. Cats. Look it up. Oh, Google God. Callie Briggs, SWAT Cats.
We're doing it live here.
Yeah, please we're do it, Kyle. Live. Give me your honest reaction. Tell me you don't feel nothing when you look at Callie Briggs.
What? What is this show or what is this movie?
Hey, watch
what
you say. Come on.
It's SWAT Cats.
The shoulder pads don't do it for me, Corey. I'm sorry, bro.
She was all right, but Demona from Gargoyles. Demona from Gargoyles. Oh, that's when you got to look today. That's the one who's got it.
All right, you can only have one, Kyle, to be your lady forever. Are you choosing Demona or Callie Briggs from SWAT Cats?
There we go.
Wait, right, hold on. We gotta pull both tabs up real quick.
We're asking right. The real questions.
Fuck, okay,
we're
doing fuck it. Mary, we're doing kill. Like Demona, Lola Bunny, one. And Callie Briggs.
Number two.
Wait, no. Number wait, one. You gotta throw in the number girl two. From the Goofy movie.
Roxanne.
Hold on.
You a fit now. Don't.
Wow. We are really going to turn Kyle into a furry by the end of the night.
A dog, a cat, or a demonic
creature? No, dude. Okay, so I think Roxanne, because she is the... How do you tell she is an animal? What is the signs beside the nose?
Hey, like that's the kind of thinking that leads you down that path of, well,
yeah,
if
it's
just the nose, then it can be all right. If it's just the hands, then it's like, okay.
It's just
the fins and gills.
Gargoyle woman and Callie.
I mean, but look at them figures.
Has some
Demona?
Huge ears.
It's terrible.
I mean, Demona will take care of you. I'm just saying. Look at that.
I can't believe we're having a discussion of like, ooh, yeah, this furry.
But like,
this went down a dark path.
I'm picking Roxanne because she's the least animal-like, and I am definitively, confidently not a furry. Not that I don't think there's anything wrong with those who do want to go down that route. I want to establish that. But.
However.
Like, Lola Bunny is not even on that list, dog. Like, he's not even top whatever.
Well, she is voiced by Zendaya, which is cool. That's a pretty big get.
That's good. I like her.
Yeah,
but the thing is that her voice is the voice that you would want, like that type of raspy, like, but it doesn't fit the new Lola's body.
I
love Say No to Weebs in chat came in, said, are we talking about which animal character we would smash? Yes, proudly.
It was not independent. I was asked a question, and I answered it honestly.
Exactly.
You have to be really careful. All of us.
That's the indictment there. It's not what's asked of you. It's what you answer to.
Yeah.
Oh, you know who else is like a hottie?
Who?
That I really love.
Oh, no.
Nala from Lion King.
Oh, my God.
Eyes?
What was the... There was this whole thing that was like, people were like, because I never watched Lion King 2, but there was some dude in Lion King 2 that people were like, that's how like their first attraction was the dude in Lion King 2.
I know who you're talking about. Wait, let me think. The guy, I know who you're talking about. God, what is his name?
Was it?
While you guys think of that, DV1TV, thank you for the raid of three people up in the chat. And Ruru2 says, hello, nerds. What's going on, brother? While you guys can continue the furry conversations after the chat, after the stream.
I'm ready to move on. It's okay.
We can move on to let's talk about the new Twitch hot tub meta while we're here. Because...
Let's just keep going,
man. We already started down this path. So we've been,
I literally just had my downstairs neighbor be like, "Hey, I heard you yelling by yourself. Is everything okay?"
Wait a minute. First of all, why did he ask you that? Second of all, you could have been doing something spicy, and he asking you if you yelling by yourself. What is
by the way. That was
she's like, I hear you saying fuck, and you're yelling really loud. Is everything okay? I'm like, oh, no, I'm a podcaster. We do podcast stuff here. It's like, oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure.
She's like, because I'm used to
older
just,
lady downstairs.
I'm used to just hearing you cry all the time for no reason.
Yeah. I'm like, that's it's okay, Mrs. Ferguson. You can go back downstairs.
Oh, that's so sweet. Or she could come up and be on the podcast.
Does Mrs. Ferguson have a hot tub?
I'm going to have to bring her up.
Get Mrs. Ferguson on the next VGB.
Yeah.
There you go.
Does she have a hot tub, Eddie?
No.
Damn.
She's got cats. You want a cat? I can put a cat on there.
No cats. Because we could be, what's been happening on Twitch, if you go to the Just Chatting section, at pretty much any point during the day, you will probably find a hot tub stream near the top of the list. We were watching one before the show. We were watching, I believe, Amaranth, who had about 15,000 people watching. Saw another one with another 8,000 people watching. And I saw some Twitter banter going on. Actually, probably a little more than banter. It was it came from one partner Twitch streamer who dresses more conservatively, wouldn't be the type to do a hot tub stream, come out and be like, you know, it's pretty shitty what's going on, that these people are exploiting their bodies to be, you know, to get more viewers and do all this. Mm. And then she was attacked viciously by a lot of people who are like, hey, she got it. Let her flaunt it and make some money on Twitch. Yep. What do you guys think of this whole new trend of, you know, hot tub streams on Twitch? Who wants to go first?
I'm going to say this without this kind of caveat. I have nothing against anybody who's in that line of work, or even anybody who's in the sex industry, or anybody who, I mean, if you got an OnlyFans, you know, more power to you. Congratulations. You have the ability to make money off of that. I wish I could, but I can't. So And so when it comes to things like Twitch, here's the thing. I consider the logical concept or just process of the path of least resistance. If you're going to jump on a stream and do where are we at? We're probably at 10 hours now with this particular stream. We're probably at 10 hours and you are getting a decent amount of money over the course of 9-10 hours. You could possibly get just as much for only doing one video and then selling it on the website. And just letting the money rake in. You don't have to show.
So you're saying, you know, just everything. Work smarter, not harder.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, me and Corey actually have a friend, a cosplayer out in the Bay Area, Jenna.
Yeah.
And she's married, and her husband, they're under this understanding, and she has an OnlyFans, and she doesn't do anything nude. She just does lewds and things like that. And she's making decent money off of that while still doing her regular job. And it equates, yeah. You know, so if you feel like doing the more of the work and the 9 hours to get X amount of money, I mean, that's great. More power to you. But like Corey said, work smart.
Put
not
no words
hard.
In my mouth. I was just trying to paraphrase what you were saying. I have no topics or thoughts on this entire subject. Lexi, uh-huh. though, I know she does. Lexi was over there looking for hot tubs.
She was looking for ideas. What are you talking about? Hot tubs. She's looking for ideas.
Lexi was like 2 seconds from going, like,
can
and
we
putting
get Tiger
on her
Woods and yeah. a hot tub with the Rock and
right?
Rock Lesnar, and we'll do a golf and wrestling hot
oh
tub
my
hour.
God. I didn't say that, guys. Anyway, so my whole thing is I don't know like the Twitch rules, like. I don't know. I
don't think it's so breaking the Twitch yeah. rules.
Cause I just don't know the rules as far as like what can you show or not show, because it seemed to me like more recently, especially this year with like COVID and everything, like, and everybody streaming at home, that if I showed my elbow, that Twitch would like, nope, you know, like yeet it. But now, like, this girl's on the cover here, like in a hot tub and her thong and all this stuff, you know, showing it bowdy bowdy, and she not getting yeeted. I'm just like, well, heck, if she can do it, then maybe I can just show a little something something and not get yeeted too. But I'm not that person, so I'm kind of, you know, hesitant to, I'll let her keep trying that toe that end until, you know,
it is happens. It is fascinating when you bring in the rules and stuff, because Twitch does have rules about like sexual content, and the fact, you know, just being in a hot tub in a bikini isn't sexual, like, by itself, you know? So it's hard to get in there and really, you know, make a ruling one way or the other. I would hate to be Twitch kind of in this situation, because it's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like, what do? Go through and do a giant crackdown because, you know, there's an influx of, you know, this, the website is video game based. There's a lot of underage people in there, and, you know, you don't want them necessarily having that quick access to overtly sexual content.
Underage kids in there for 30 seconds and they're gone.
Yeah. And it does say like, hey, if you're under this age, whatever, but that, you know, that doesn't really mean anything.
My question is how many people are like stripped down in the jacuzzis, because I haven't really seen a lot other than the one you guys had shown me. I'm guessing more people are like just like chilling in there or whatever, and it hasn't came to the point where they've had to crack down on it, or they're just being like super casual about it. But I feel like some people are towing that line, and I'm like curious to be a fly on the wall at the Twitch office, like, what are they thinking about those people? Because I'm like, I see streamers all the time, like they show cleavage or whatever the case is, a little here, a little there, or whatever, and they don't care about that so much. But like, I don't know, a while back ago, I guess a girl accidentally like flashed somebody by accident, like something happened.
Accidentally, and they were like, air quotes, accidentally.
They said yeet, and she like got banned or something. And I'm like, this girl is technically, I mean, if I was to go to a lingerie shoot, like that's what I'll be wearing. So, and you got 12-year-olds watching her. Like, I'm just like, this ain't no Omegle. Like,
what's your take, Kyle?
So I think Twitch is like, they are juggling here, because they like, how much money, right? So
yeah, they are.
It's terrible.
How much, Jesus Christ. How much money do you think, like, how many subs do you think she's gotten today, right? Like, couple hundred, right? And that's, they get $2.50 for every sub, and imagine how many other people, like, how much money is Twitch individually making just from like kind of scandalous, I'll use the scandalous or whatever, streamers. Like, that's a pretty big amount of money that they have made in the last while. And so like, they're at this tough point of like, okay, well, the initial idea for Twitch was like gaming focused live streaming. And then they're like, okay, well, if people want to like hang out and chat about stuff or do like other non-gaming things, maybe we can do that. Like, okay, well, if people want to do just chatting all the time forever, like, maybe we can let them do that. And like, okay, now we're getting to the point of like, okay, well, homegirl's in a hot tub in her, you know, bikini. Like, how close are we to being one of those other, you know, live streamy, you can send your tips and there's no limits on what you see or don't see or whatever. Like, they're kind of, I guess, boiling the frog is the analogy for that, of like, you kind of slowly bring up the temperature as you go on. You don't like drop it into the boiling water, because then it's too hot, it jumps out. But like, if you kind of bring it up closer and closer and closer, and you push that limit every so often, I think it gets a little harder to like draw that line, because you're doing little by little. Okay, well, now I can do this. This is fine. Oh, this is fine too. And so like, I don't really have an opinion on whether or not they should do it or shouldn't do it or should allow it or shouldn't allow it. I think that they should be equal and fair in the way they treat it. So if someone did something that was of the same level but was not as big, they don't kick them out immediately or ban them or anything. Like, if you're going to ban the people who make you $0, you should ban the people who make you $15,000 a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like this.
But like,
there have been people pushing the boundaries. There was one streamer named Indie Fox who got banned for nudity doing a hot tub stream. I guess she stood up and did like a spin, and the bottom back was like more see-through and small and didn't have enough proper coverage, because I guess Twitch has an attire policy that says the area. It says the area extending from your hips to the bottom of your pelvis and buttocks must be like covered. So, you know, we were just watching an Amaranth stream, you know, where she was getting up and bending over frequently. And
she had on a piece of paper. So tell me.
But it wasn't see-through. That's the difference.
So I can have a G-string on. Got it. And I'm fine as long as they know I have a G-string.
Look, Alexa, if you're going to be making all these promises, you're going to have to make good on these.
Goddamn. I'm just saying.
Over here quoting Cisco with the thong song and then now talking about G-strings. It's like, you're getting people hyped here.
Twitch is not in an awesome spot. I think they really have to be careful with who they ban and what they ban, because now there's people who have been banned for like light infractions that are looking at these hot tub streams that are pissed because they're like, this is way more sexual than what I got banned for. So it's we will monitor this closely. I'm sure Kyle will. I'm sure
sounds like Lexi will too.
As our VGB butt expert, Kyle's assignment is to watch.
I do like a log every hour of like how much butt shot was taken.
We're gonna get and now that he's on the East Coast, he can start earlier.
Yeah,
exactly.
He's like, 35% of a cheek. Okay. That's a ban right there. That is a ban. Going back to our move, since our filmlosopher is back from getting yelled at by his neighbor, we could talk about the trailer that popped off from James Gunn's Suicide Squad, because I am not a big fan of the DC stuff. I've made that pretty clear. I hated all the Suicide Squads up until this point. And then now they had this new one with James Gunn, who's the director of Guardians of the Galaxy, which is my favorite Marvel movie. And it looks like, note for note, bar for bar, he is bringing that style, having like an amazing soundtrack, crazy, amazing cast of actors and characters come together. And this one looks pretty damn good. What did you think, Filmlosopher Eddie?
It does look good. It looks like something that you could, let's just be honest. The last Suicide Squad was kind of a hot mess. It was expected to be a little bit more serious, and then after the events with like Man of Steel and Batman and so forth, they decided to add a little bit more brevity to it, and it just looked disjointed. This one looks like something that James Gunn had a hand in, because it looks fun. It looks like it's going to not take itself seriously, but set up something that people will be able to remember when it comes to the DC, because honestly, you cannot deny the success of James Gunn after seeing what he did with Guardians of the Galaxy. Plain and simple. He took an unknown crew who people barely knew the surface of that team in the comics, brought them into the big silver screen, and then created like fans worldwide out of Star-Lord, out of Rocket Raccoon, out of Groot, out of Drax. He made pretty much gold out of nothing. So I have no doubt that what he's doing, especially with the cast that he has with Idris Elba, John Cena, he's got the return of Rick Flagg from the first one. You got Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn. You got Sylvester Stallone, freaking Sylvester Stallone's King Shark. And then to top it all off, you're going to have the ultimate villain of Starro in this film as the main bad guy. Like, how can you go wrong with that?
What's a Starro?
So Starro is this massive villain that is essentially this alien that actually was the very first villain for the Justice League of America in their first issue, to be honest.
Oh, sure.
It was the first villain they fought, but it's essentially this large extraterrestrial starfish. It's the kaiju that they're mentioning at the end of the trailer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I mean, with people like, you got characters that are coming in like John Cena's Peacemaker, you got Nathan Fillion's TKO, I mean, you got the Polka Dot Man, which you got Weasel, all these people that nobody knows, including what's his name?
John Cena!
What's his name? Merle from The Walking Dead. Who's Merle?
Michael Rooker.
Michael Rooker, that's right, because you got a photo with him.
I got stuck in an elevator with him, yeah.
You did.
Yes, sir.
Michael Rooker's Savant actually plays a bigger role in the Birds of Prey franchise once that starts getting going. So there's a lot that's going to be, if this kicks off well, and no doubt it will, this is going to begin to create a new breath of life into the DC universe that kind is going to be a little bit more on the side of what people are expecting, a little bit more, you know, brevity, a little bit more comedy, a little bit more serious with the fun, and just something that people can enjoy in a less than 4-hour time limit.
My theory, I think, might still hold a little water, but I remember Deadpool when they put together that team and then murdered like most of them when they dropped out of the airplane?
Oh, yeah.
When I saw all the huge names, the Pete Davidsons, the John Cenas, and all this stuff thrown in there, my thought was they were going to just throw them all away somehow in a big sequence. But it looks like from the trailer, they're going to have all share significant like amount of responsibility, screen time. I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be great. The music was amazing. I love what they, what song did they choose? Like Dirty Work. I can't remember who it's by, but I mean, always James Gunn bringing the juicy tunes. What did you think, Kyle? Cause we made you watch it right before we went live.
Really, so damn, by the way.
You're fresh.
I watched one. I didn't watch the other. Which one? I got to make sure I watched the. I'm correct on which one I did watch, because it is. I think it's important. I watched the official Red Band trailer.
Okay.
Yes. A week ago. I think it was pretty good. I think that, like, obviously, I don't know these characters, and so I don't have that immediate, like, oh, it's my favorite person or whatever. And so, like, I think, like you mentioned, it'll be up to, like, how do you make me fall in love with, like, 8 or 10 characters in a 2-hour time limit? That is
exactly
tricky. Like, he was able to do it with Star. Like, I had never read a Guardians of the Galaxy, but like I went and saw it with my father-in-law, who was like huge into the comics, and was able to like kind of fill in stuff. But like, I think it'll be interesting. I heard that the first one, I actually hadn't seen the first one, I don't think, God. I heard not great things about it, but obviously, like, it's a completely different direction and, you know, idea and visual that they're going for with it. So I think I'm a little bit more inclined to see it, knowing that, like, and especially too, because it's not even just him directing it. Like, I think people tend to give directors a little too much, like, oh, if this director is doing it, it can't possibly be bad. Like, well, what is the script shit? Is the casting shit? Like, you don't have no idea. And so I think having him write and direct it, I have a little bit more faith in it. I think who they picked is super interesting. Like, who they cast it for, it's like, I'm sure, why not, dude? I don't know. Like, I'm curious to see John Cena in a superhero movie. I'm curious to see what Pete Davidson in a superhero movie. Like, what? Yeah. Sylvester Stallone shark. Sure. I don't. What? Yeah. Sure. Whatever. Like, what?
Talking about that first Suicide.
I was like Vin Diesel as a tree person who only says, I am Groot. Like, fuck. All right.
Exactly.
Sure. Why not?
There was the best thing that came out of that first Suicide Squad movie. And if you take nothing else away, if you hated the movie, like, go at least listen to that Mark Ronson, Action Bronson song, Standing in the Rain, that came out of that. That one hit the playlist immediately. And that song is the best thing to come from that movie. It's beautiful. Standing in the Rain, Mark Ronson, Action Bronson, listen to it. Lexi.
The only thing that good came out of it.
With Dan Auerbach as well.
What did you think, Lexi, of that one?
I like Harley Quinn and Joker from the DCU universe. Okay. So, of course, I gravitate toward her. And I think when they picked Margot Robbie, however you say her name, I think like that was a good pick for Harley Quinn in general. So I'm interested to see how she plays out in this film. But yeah, I'm excited to see what happens, but Marvel fan till I die.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I also wanted to go into this one too. Is anybody in here watched the Invincible show on Amazon?
All 4 episodes.
Okay.
The one that just dropped.
No spoilers, yeah, please. No. Let's be sensitive on this one, because I watched episode 1 and I'm a little scared to watch the rest.
I've read the comics if you want context.
So hold on. Just as a warning, because I didn't get a warning. I watched the episode. And how long was it, Eddie? 45 minutes, an hour?
It was about 45.
The first 40 minutes were awesome. I was like, oh, this is amazing. Yeah, I could get into this.
And then that last minute.
The last, like, 5 minutes.
You're like, what the fuck?
What am I watching? And I felt, really? Like, bad for my wife. I was watching it with her, and, like, she had to, like, close her eyes, like, and scream. It was awful. It was brutal. It was like Metalocalypse, like vibes. What? It was.
Well, that's what you get when you create something based on Robert Kirkman's work. I mean, come on, the man who created Walking Dead, he did this.
It was brutal. And there's stuff in there that it's going to stick with me. Like the way they did the Flash guy. I was talking to David Ng afterwards, you know, about it. And it's even worse when you think of how he perceives time. You know, they even went into like 3 minutes of backstory for every character. So you're like, oh, okay, they're setting us up to, you know, learn more about. And then the ending happens. So
has everybody seen the first episode at least?
No, they haven't. Yeah. So I don't want to even really tell them too much, except like brace yourselves because it gets heavy.
I've heard that it is very graphic. Wait.
Is it based on an original comic and then they made this into a show? Or what's the timeline for us?
That's what's up.
It's based on an original comic back from the mid-2000s. Robert Kirkman obviously created this before he did Walking Dead. So, you know, he worked out a lot of those brutal kinks in The Walking Dead. So the testing grounds was essentially Invincible. Uniquely enough, everything that happens in the first episode is kind of mentioned in issue zero before they got into the next run. It's covered in a really quick format, but long story short, it's doing exactly what you would expect if The Boys was animated, except if it was all about superheroes
for some reason,
and not just like the people.
For some reason though, like, I can handle The Boys. I don't know why.
Have you seen season two?
Yeah, I've seen them both. Yeah, it's But for some reason, there was like a mind or a mental aspect to the gore and violence, like, that made it, you know, usually when you see stuff and it's happening to bad guys, you know, you're like, okay, but when it's
like, that's what you get.
Yeah, but when it's, I don't know, watch it for yourselves with caution. I'm actually afraid to watch any more because, like, some of that stuff can affect you and go on with you.
Is it okay? Can I ask a question of, like, I guess a gore level, because apparently something happens. Is it like Elf and Lead? Have you seen that, or Blood Plus, or like Dracula on Netflix? Like, is it that gore level? Is that why you're scared?
Think of the worst part of Game of Thrones, like some of the stuff that happened in
animated,
but. Whoa. But even a little worse, somehow it managed to be even worse than like the mountains popping Mando's head.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
okay,
it was like, yeah. Eddie, does it get worse than episode one? Like, should if you felt like a little, like, traumatized from one, should you go on?
I would say probably not, because the series itself carries a level of brutality where the comics do, and if you can expect that level in the first episode, you can only anticipate that the rest of the series is going to carry that level, if not a heightened level, because there's still another instance that's going to happen. It didn't happen in this week's episode, but more than likely in next week's episode, that is just about on level with episode one. They may heighten it a bit, but all in all, it does escalate.
Is it like Kill Bill? I'm trying to think of something that's like, not like, I'm saying like how, like, she just kept going.
Did you see episode season two of The Boys?
No, but I did.
I was gonna say the court scene is very similar. The very end court scene is very similar to what you can anticipate in animated form in this first episode.
Yeah, homework assignment for everybody in the VGB. give episode one a shot if you feel like you could stomach it. And I'm really curious to see if I'm just overly sensitive. I found out that having a daughter has made me a little more sensitive to things. I'm a little bit, you know, I'm not the old rough-edged guy I used to be. You know, I'm a father now. So I look at these things through father's eyes. And you have to talk like that when you're a father.
Oh,
But I definitely am wondering, am I just becoming a softie, or was this really fucking intense? So we'll talk more about that one next week. But that's our show, everybody. I think we could start getting to the outros. Let's go. All right. So Film Philosopher Eddie, let's start with you. What is going on? Where can people listen to the Film Philosophers podcast? And when will you be on the new Rock Stars next?
So let me take a look at the calendar. You can catch us on our social pages at facebook.com/filmphilosophers and on Twitter and Instagram at filmphilosophy101. You can also check us out on our website at filmphilosophers.com. We have over 250 episodes, so you can check us out there. I will be on the episode of the week of the 11th, so more than likely the episode that drops on the 15th, and I will also be on the week of the 25th, so more than likely the episode that drops on the 29th. So you can check me out there on New Rockstars on YouTube and on their Rogue Theory series. Yeah, so there All you right. go.
Lexi, where can people keep up with you and see the latest and greatest from 2K?
Woo-hoo!
Follow me on Twitter, LexiJPR. I will stream at some point. And that's SpaceMintyX on Twitch. And yeah, hit your girl up if you need some needs.
She's going to be buying a pool soon.
Yeah. I will. No, I'm kidding.
Kyle.
Unless y'all want me to.
What you looking at, man? Where can people hang out, find out more about Fuser? I got an email from a representative from Harmonix last week, and part of me was suspecting you dropped us to some people to maybe fish out and reach.
So
was it just completely random?
So. I'm curious to maybe talk offline about who reached out to you. I'm super curious about the back end of details of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm still not like in the community manager role yet, so I don't know a whole lot of details, but I mean, I've played a lot of Fuser recently. It's fun as hell. If you like music stuff, play that game. I mean, Harmonix is doing all sorts of cool shit. Like, it's how I got into playing music in the first place. So, I always hard stand that.
You were one of those kids, huh?
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah. I was like, I'm expert on Guitar Hero and Rock Band. I was like, cool. Who cares? Like, oh shit. Okay. What about regular guitar?
I had a weird relationship because once they started, I was good at Guitar Hero. Like, I was pretty good and never played guitar, but I was actual drummer for many years. And then they came out with Rock Band, so I found myself.
You're still a drummer. Don't do that to yourself, man. You're still a drummer.
I'd be at these parties and they'd bust out the Rock Band and they'd be like, "Oh, Corey, the drummer, come play the thing." And I'd be like, "Ah, yeah, let's do this. Let's do this. What is this? Avenged Sevenfold? Ah, put it on hard. Yeah, let's go. I know this song."
And then,
fail immediately. Everyone's looking at me like, "Oh, the drummer can't play the drums." I hated that fucking game just for that reason because it embarrassed me at parties. So
it is. I think you can go from Rock Band drums to regular drums pretty easily in terms of like the rhythms. It's hard to go from regular drums to like, you ask a regular guitarist to like pick up and play Guitar Hero, they're like, "What the fuck is this?" Like, they're like moving their fingers up and it just doesn't work. Like, you can't. Yeah. And it's, yeah.
Well, then I got even more mad when the kids who came up playing Rock Band ended up getting better than me on the drums. So they came back. When it went the other way around, I was like, "Oh, this Rock Band kid thinks he's going to play on. Whoa, shit. What did he just do?"
Don't let Corey fool you guys, though. Corey can hold a good note on that double kick, man. He's a pretty badass drummer. So.
Oh, yeah. There's no double kick in the Rock Band that I play. That's what I always say. I'd be like, there's no double kick, man. Oh, but where's the cymbal? Oh, I don't know how to play. Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
This hi-hat doesn't work. What's going on?
That's our show, though. Thanks for hanging out, everybody. We will catch you next week. I hope you had a fantastic Easter Sunday. And, you know, I think things are getting better in the world. So maybe we'll get to do some more, get the studio back fired up and running here pretty soon once we all get that vaccine. But until then, keep wearing those masks, keep drinking your water, and we will catch you next week on the Video Game Bang. For Lexi, Kyle the winner, Eddie Villa Nueva, my name is Corey, saying woo!